Welcome to Your Destiny. Mr. Destiny is Robert Lee Camp, the author of Love Cards and Cards of Your Destiny. In the next 60 minutes, you can learn about your future, your relationships, and maybe even your special place in this world. Come prepared with questions for Robert and bring your birthday, the magical key that unlocks the secrets of your destiny. If you have questions about somebody else, have their birthday ready as well. For more information, please visit 7thunders.com. That is the number 7 and the word thunders.com. And now, here's Robert.
Good evening, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp, the author of The Cards of Your Destiny and Love Cards. Welcome to the show. This is the Mr. Destiny radio show where we discuss spiritual topics, but also I do a lot of readings, an hour and a half of you can call in and get some answers to your questions. I'm the author of these two books. So I started writing them the first time. It was about 18 years ago, the first book I ever wrote on the cards. And since then, I've written about 12 books. For those of you who are new, this system is the most amazing, the most accurate, and easy-to-learn system that is available to you. It is uncannily accurate because it's based on mathematical law. And you can look in your past and see what the influences are in the book, and it'll match up with what you happen to you. And you can look in your future as well. That's a brief description. There's a lot more to it. One thing about the system is that it's the best system by far for relationship compatibility. A lot of astrologers use this system for relationships because it's actually more accurate. I find it to be more accurate than astrology sometimes because it reveals things that you can't find in astrology, patterns and so forth. So it's a very amazing system. And what's so great about it is it's so easy to learn. Anybody can learn to do this. That's the whole point. That's the entire point. Tonight we're going to have a very special show. I'm going to be talking about health secrets. I mean, if you really want to have good health, and who doesn't? I mean, you know, if you don't have good health, what do you have? There's some simple things that you can know. And I've come upon some really cool things in my travels, you might say, and all these can help. So I'm really anxious to share some of these things with you. Today is August 20th, and today is a Leo Six of Clubs day. This will be our last show in the Leo time. After this, we're going to go into the Virgos. And today is actually, it's not just Leo, it's a lot of Leo. Like anyone born today has their sun somewhere around 25 to 28 degrees of Leo, making them a very powerful Leo personality. Connie Chung, for example, is a Leo, is just born today, and Don King, the sports promoter. Fred Durst, the musician, is born today. Joan Allen, Victoria Jackson, Robert Plant, and you know, these people born on this day have a lot of power, and they usually have a lot of success, a lot of power in that Leo energy of the Six of Clubs, which I often call the most fortunate card in the entire deck. There's no card that's all just so easy for anybody, because every card, no matter what your birthday is, you have your own set of personal challenges. But there are some that are more materially more fortunate. And the Six of Clubs is a card that often attains great wealth and great recognition. It just comes with the territory. But there are exceptions. You know, there are exceptions. So, everything is going as it should. We have a huge hurricane headed towards Mexico. I wish it was coming this way. I would love to have the rain. I would love to just have more rain. It would be so nice. I also have a special guest tonight, a really good friend of mine named Daniel Westfall. And he's going to be sharing with everybody all the amazing ways that he has used the cards in his life since he learned the cards. And he's a Ten of Spades Aquarian. And we'll talk more, we'll be talking with him live a little later on in the show. So, without further ado, let's talk about health. Now, I don't really know. You know, everybody has a certain relationship with health. I mean, I've done so many readings, and a lot of my clients have health issues, to be honest. And it's been a challenge for me as an astrologer sometimes to see how these health issues that people have would be displayed in their natal chart or in their card. There are certain cards that are known to have health issues, like the Seven of Spades and the Nine of Spades and the Two of Spades and the, let's see, what else? There's one other, I think. But, oh, Six of Spades. So there are some cards that have that tend to have, and Three of Spades, almost all spades, you notice, because spades is the suit of health. They tend to have health karma. But, you know, like everything else in life, karma is something that you can work on, and you can actually rise above. And you can have good karma. You can have good health. You know, when I look around, I mean, as I've looked around over the years, and I see people getting sick a lot, and I see, you know, how much that could be avoided. You know, I think any of us could have really good health if we just had good health habits. I mean, Benjamin Franklin, who was a very wise man, who's responsible for our postal system and for our paper money that we use today, he always said that many dishes equals many diseases. And he learned that it was important not to combine too many foods together. He watched people, even back then, have untold health problems from eating too much and eating too many different kinds of foods at the same time. So first of all, let me just start by saying that there are two kinds of health problems, really. As far as I can see, there's only two. One of them is karmic. In other words, you have this health condition because of something you did in a past life. Now, when I say karmic, I refer to past life karma. Like, for example, in my body, the one area I've had the most difficulty with is my teeth. And in my natal chart, I have Mars square Saturn. And typically, that would be interpreted as somebody who abused power and really, you know, it was like maybe I knocked somebody's teeth out in a former lifetime. And now I have all kinds of teeth problems. It's been the only area of my health that's been an ongoing thing. Always requires attention, always requires extra money and more time, more care and everything. Okay? So there's the karmic health problems. And a lot of people have those. And, you know, I mean, it's sad sometimes. I have a nephew who is only 2 years old, and he may die soon. He has cancer throughout his whole body. Now, how does a two-year-old contract cancer? A two-year-old who's living in a nice environment with loving parents, it's not something that's happening around him. It's not something that he created. He's not conscious enough to create that. You know, he's undergoing chemo right now. So this is karmic. This kind of health thing is karmic. It's playing out a purpose or a reason from a past life. And maybe it's very important, you know, like some people, the genius guy who's in the wheelchair and who can barely speak now, his health was probably karmic too, you know, but that's one kind. The other kind is, and there's only one other kind, people, and that's self-created. Everything else is self-created. And no matter what you think, no matter if you think you're the victim of a health thing, if it wasn't a karmic health thing, and it usually isn't, by the way, it's kind of rare to have karmic health things, then it's something that we're creating. And, you know, either way, even if it's karmic or if it's self-created, by taking action on our part, we can actually change it. What's happened in today's society is that everybody, I'd say the majority of people, probably by a great majority, have given up responsibility for their health. they don't look at their diet, they don't look at what they eat, they don't exercise, and they wonder why they're sick. They don't question what's being given to them, and it's become an epidemic. As a matter of fact, there's been talk lately that the insurance companies will have to go out of business or stop offering health coverage because they can't afford it, the rising cost of health care. And all of this is due to one thing. All these people that are not taking responsibility for their health. They're just eating until they get sick or so overweight that they can't do anything. They're not watching what they eat. And they have other habits. So, you know, really, a lot of this is just common sense, you know. It's just really common sense. You know, we have to be responsible for our health. We have to. Some people, like if you're a two of spades, most likely you have to be very careful. This is a card that has a very, they have the karma that they abused their health in a past life, and in this lifetime, they can't get away with it. So this is one of those birth cards that, you know, if they just deviate from their diet a small bit, they suffer tremendously, you know. So you may have that going on. But even those people can live a happy, healthy life by practicing happy, healthy habits. You know, and so that brings us to the first thing, is that our constitution. Everybody has a basic constitution, which is inherited from your family. And you can kind of look at your mother and father and get an idea of how your constitution is, or your grandparents, and see, you know, how long they did live. Some people are just, you know, they can abuse their bodies more and get away with it. You know, I think my personal constitution is probably somewhere between good and very good. I wouldn't say it's excellent. There are some people that have excellent constitution. Some people, you know, their grandparents lived to be 100, and that's what they expect to do, too. I don't have that kind, but I think overall, pretty good. Pretty good constitution. Okay? Then there's this balance between diet and exercise. First of all, so many people don't want to exercise at all. You know, if you don't like exercise, how are you going to make yourself do it? Are you going to threaten yourself? Are you going to, like, you know, what are you going to do? How are you going to motivate yourself to do exercise if you don't like it? Personally, I don't like exercise. I don't like working out in a gym, you know, so much. I love to hike, I like to walk, and I like to do yoga, which I don't consider exercise, but it is. It's a form of exercise. So it's not like I'm down at the gym on a pedaling a bike going nowhere for like 30, 40 minutes, watching the little dials and watching myself go up virtual hills and so forth. But, you know, if you don't do some kind of exercise, your body is not going to do well. They've proven that in cultures where people live to be the oldest, they work a lot and they don't eat that much. That's the common denominator for these cultures where people live to be over 100. They eat very little and they work a lot. They do a lot of physical stuff. So we have to include that. We've become a soft culture, especially here in the U.S. We're soft. We give ourselves too much pleasures. And we don't balance that out with anything physical. So you have to balance diet and exercise. And the idea would be, and they've proven in the lab, you know, all these experiments in longevity, the rats that live the longest are the ones that give the least amount of food to. Isn't that amazing? And here we are just eating ourselves into oblivion. I mean, what do you think? If you miss a meal, are you going to, like, is it going to be at the end of the world? You know, a lot of us eat out of a sense of insecurity. We eat for comfort. We can't stop eating. We can't stand the pain of hunger. You know, no way. If you can't stand the pain of being hungry every once in a while, and hunger is what makes food taste better. Hunger is the best condiment. But you know what everybody really wants to do? They want to just be able to take a pill. Everybody wants a pill. They want a pill. Give me a pill. And that brings me to the subject of supplements. If you look around, it's a multi-billion, billion-dollar industry right now, supplements. there's vitamins, and there's all kinds of research on new things. There's just everything. And, you know, most of them, it's coming around to, they're all plants. They all come from plants and certain animals. And, you know, more and more as scientists uncover the secrets of the plant world, they're finding more and more stuff. But still, you end up having all these supplements that are made of all kinds of exotic plants, mushrooms, algaes, different things. Everybody's eating all this stuff, you know. They're taking all these pills, hoping that they won't have to exercise if they take these pills. Like, it's going to make up the difference. Well, you know, supplements, in my experience, they're not going to do it for you. I mean, some people are very sensitive, and some supplements actually do work. I don't want to say they all don't work, but there's a lot of bullshit out there. There's a lot of people just making up stuff. When you watch these infomercials at night, you see these people's testimonials. Do you think they're real people telling the truth, or do you think maybe they were hired to say what they say? You know, how do we know? They're not signing an affidavit saying all these testimonials are real from real people, you see? So it's important to question. Because, you know, I remember seeing, you know, I was up late a couple of times, and I would watch, there was this thing about calcium, some form of calcium. What was it, sea calcium or something, and I got all excited about it. I found some on the internet, I ordered it, I took it, I didn't feel anything. You know, the bottom line, I think, with supplements is this. You try it and you see if you actually feel a difference. See if you feel a difference in your body. There's nothing wrong with taking them, but they're not a substitute for exercise. And you should really question the supplements you're taking to see if they're actually doing what you think they're doing. Are they really helping you at all? Or are you just throwing your money down the toilet? Because that's where it goes after you digest it. It ends up in the toilet. Okay? So be very careful. I'll talk about a couple of supplements that I know really work a little later in the discussion here. Okay, medical care, insurance. I've talked about this a little bit, you know. You also, when you go to somebody for, you know, for medical care, a doctor or an acupuncturist or, you know, maybe a food consultant or whatever, okay, you got to remember that you're the one who's ultimately responsible for your health. If you go to a doctor and just follow them and don't question and don't ask questions and don't get involved in your own health, you are probably going to be one of the statistics. More people die in this country in the hospital than anywhere else. And you might be one of them if you don't really question. First of all, I personally don't like hospitals. I've only been in one about 5 times in my life. I mean, and for my own health, only about 3 times. Maybe 10 times I've been in hospitals for other people. But I don't like hospitals. People die there. It's a scary place. It's a dangerous place. There's people that are not so conscious, you know, doing things that could cost someone their life. People make mistakes. Miracles do happen there too, but I won't go there. You know, I don't want to go there if I don't have to. So that motivates me to take care of myself, because I don't want to go there and put my health in the hands of people that I don't know. I don't know how qualified they are. You know, our current form of medicine is called allopathic medicine. And, you know, it's really still in its infancy. I mean, they do help people. Don't get me wrong. A lot of people are saved and so forth by different procedures and so forth. But there's still a lot of misinformation out there. So, you know, there are some things you can do, but if you just decide to exercise, that will make you feel so much better. There's a story, it's a true story, about this guy who became so depressed, and he was an author. He had already written a book, and he was had become very successful. But then he got in this kind of a lull, and he was really depressed. And he got so depressed that he decided he was going to kill himself. Even though he had a family, and even though, you know, he just didn't want to live anymore. So he decided the way he was going to kill himself was he was going to go outside one night and just run until he passed out from a heart attack, because he was overweight, and he just knew that if he ran hard and fast enough, he would just fall over and die of a heart attack. So he ran outside, and he ran until he fell down, but he didn't have a heart attack. He just fell down exhausted. And then he tried it again the next night. He was still determined to take his own life. And he failed again. He didn't die, but he really, some people have a good constitution. They can take a lot of stress on their body, and they'll be okay, you know. He must have been one of those people. But then on the third day, he noticed he was starting to feel better. He started to feel a lot better in his life. And then he started this habit of going out at night and running. And within a week or two, he was feeling like a whole new man. His inspiration returned. He got back into his job and his work and his family. And it transformed his life, just that. Because he was a sedentary. You know, writing books is a sedentary activity. You sit there and you don't do much. You don't get any exercise. And that's my profession. So if I didn't do some exercise, if I didn't go out hiking or something where I work up a sweat, my health goes down. I can feel it, especially now at my age. I'm 54 years old. But even when I was younger, I wouldn't feel good if I didn't do something aerobic for, you know, more than 4 days. I would feel the edge, that edge go off. And if I do hike, if I do run or hike or something like that, I feel so good afterwards. The whole day I'm just feeling my step is light. When I walk downtown or somewhere, I feel like I'm just floating on air instead of dragging. So exercise is so extremely important. If you're not willing to exercise, seriously, folks, the only alternative you have is to stop eating. And, you know, as an adult, you don't need to eat very much. You could eat like one sandwich a day. One small sandwich a day would be plenty of food for a sedentary adult. That's all you would need because you're not burning it up. You've got no need for it. You know, and you could, even being sedentary, you could live a lot longer if you did that. And if you exercise, you can eat more. You can actually eat more and you'll enjoy the food more. So it's up to you, but you can't have it both ways. If you think you can not exercise and eat all you want, you are lining yourself up for health problems. Okay, so another couple of things. When I was living at the yoga ashram and I was 23 years old, one of the first things I got introduced to was a tongue cleaner. It's an amazing little thing, and probably some of you already have one or have heard about them, but if you haven't, it's the most amazing thing. It's just mine is a little stainless steel, U-shaped piece of metal that's kind of thin, and you can just scrape your tongue off with that, and it cleans the coating right off your tongue. It freshens your breath, and it takes almost all the bacteria out of your mouth. Most of the bacteria in your mouth, I think it's like 90%, is on your tongue. And I've had this one tongue cleaner. I was 23. I've had it 30 years. I've never lost it. 30 years. It cost me, I think, $5. What an amazing little instrument that thing is. Okay, it's a great thing. If you've never tried one, you know, you don't have to worry about having bad breath. You know, a lot of people do have bad breath. And there are some other reasons you can have it. But that's the number one reason for most people. And you can use it as many times a day as you want. You shouldn't overdo it, though, because it does scrape your tongue, and it could be a little abrasive to your tongue. Okay? Okay, the next thing. How many of you have heard of the 5 Tibetan rites? This is something I learned when I was at the ashram, but I didn't really pay much attention to it. I learned them, and then I basically forgot about them. And then when I was in my mid-30s, I sort of remembered them again. I said, you know, I should try these because there's a book. It's called The Ancient... I'm not exactly sure the title. I think it's called The Ancient Secrets of the Fountain of Youth. It has the word Fountain of Youth in there. And it has Ancient and Secrets. So I think that's the title. The Ancient Secrets of the Fountain of Youth. And I highly recommend this. You can go on the Internet and read about the 5 rites, R-I-T-E-S, for free. But if you read this book, it gives you a much more in-depth understanding about what it is you're doing and why it works and it's very powerful. So basically, the five rites are these five exercises that you can do. And once you master them, it literally, you can do them all in 10 minutes. You do them once a day. In the beginning, it's very difficult. There's a lot of abdominal stuff. Some of them are really simple. You'll find them to be really easy. There's only five. There's actually six you can do, but that's only if you're practicing celibacy. But the five are very simple. But if you're out of shape, which like I was when I started doing them, it takes a while. And they have a system where you build up to them. And these five rites will reverse aging in your body. I was amazed how I saw signs of aging reverse themselves in my body when I started doing the five rites. It also will dramatically increase your libido. So if you don't want to be horny, don't do the five rites. If you've lost being horny for a long time, you might want to consider these. Oh, here, I actually found the book. It's called Ancient Secret of the Fountain of Youth by Peter Kelder. I found it on my bookshelf. When I have a good book like that, I'll never lose it. I'll keep this book for the rest of my life. I have a collection like that. So Ancient Secrets of the Fountain of Youth. What these five rites actually do is they're not, it's the physical thing is not really the benefit. You're not getting the benefit by the physical, but by doing them, you cause the chakras, the energy centers in your body, which spin at a certain vibration. As we get older, they slow down. These five rites cause the chakras to spin at the same rate that they do when you're 19 years old. That's how they work. So when you do these five rites, I can actually hear it. I can hear the sound of the vibration in my ears. It's not a physical sound. It's like a cosmic sound, but I can hear it. When I do them, I can hear the vibrations speeding up when I do them. And that's what it'll do. And it's amazing. I have two of my sisters are doing these now. I do them. My fiance does them. I've told friends, I'm not promoting it so much, but it's a wonderful thing that everybody should be doing who's conscious. It makes a huge difference. And a lot of people are doing it. Okay, so that's the second one. So the other thing is yoga. Yoga, there is forms of yoga which don't qualify in what I'm talking about. There's like power yoga. There's like Iyengar yoga, Bikram yoga. There's other forms of yoga. They're very athletically oriented, and they don't have the effect that I'm referring to. But yoga is, if it's done in the right way, if yoga is done with consciousness and with the breath, it is the most powerful healing experience you could have. It calms your body. It balances all your hormones and your glandular secretions. It does miracles for your body. And there is no, I have found that there's nothing better than hiking and yoga. Hiking and as opposed to jogging. I used to jog too, but I wonder now when people are running, what are they running from? I think I was always running away from something. But I think also swimming would be awesome. I've seen older people who swim a lot every day. If you have the facility for swimming, that's wonderful. But my preference is hiking because I have a hill. I have a hill close by here called Mount Diablo, and it's a nice hill. It gives me a great workout. And I hike there for an hour three times a week. So hiking, yoga, the five rites, diet, moderation in your diet. Moderation, not too much of any one thing. And some exercise. And you'll be healthy. You can't help it. You will. Your body will love you. Your body will love it. You'll feel better. Everybody can have that. And forget about the interns or the doctors taking care of you. You can take care of yourself. I mean, there's so many good things out there to take advantage of. If you really want to have good health, anybody can have it. Okay, so this ends my discussion on health. We are going to take a short break now. We're going to play the song Krishna Lullaby. And when we come back, my friend Dan is online too, and we're going to have a nice conversation about how he's used the cards in his life. He's an amazing guy. I can't wait for you to meet him. So we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Krishna Govinda, Hare Murare, Jai Rama Sita Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Krishna Govinda, Hare Murare, Jai
Futurist Gordon Michael Scallion, and you're listening to BBS
Radio.
.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp. That was a song off my new CD called Bhakti Rock, Krishna Lullaby. Now we're going to bring my friend Dan, who's from Mississippi, and he's my special guest tonight. Is Dan here? Hello?
Robert, I can barely hear you.
Oh, I can hear you now. Maybe he can turn you up a little louder. Can you hear me?
I can barely hear you in there.
Oh, I can hear you really good now.
Let's just get my... I can barely hear you. Maybe I'll try to. I'll call you right back on another line.
Call back on the same line.
Wait, I hear you fine now.
Oh, okay. You can hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Excellent.
Sorry, I can barely hear you. And it's way down the phone. But this is good. I hear you fine.
Oh, okay. All right, excellent. Good to have you, Dan. So let me introduce you first, Dan, to our listeners, and let me just say a couple things. Just for those of you who want to call in and get a reading, there's two lines open. Dan's on line two. But we're going to be talking for at least 10 minutes or more, so it's going to be a little while, but you're welcome to call in and get in line for the next for some question and answer. I met Dan, let's see, I don't know, I think it's been about 10 years. How long has it been, Dan?
Oh, let's see. I think it's been 12, 13 years. When you came out with your first book, we somehow managed to run across your path and been talking ever since.
Now I can barely hear you for some reason.
Well, now I hear you great.
Oh, good. Well, we met through a mutual friend, and we immediately connected like soul brothers, and Dan was really into the cards. And he learned it all so quick. He's an Aquarian, Ten of Spades, and, you know, Aquarians are kind of all geniuses. So he picked it up immediately. And being a Ten of Spades that he is, Ten of Spades never do anything half-assed. They always do everything 100% or 110%. And Dan really got into the cards, and he began to utilize that in his life. And he's done some amazing things in his life based on the cards. And I thought it would be really nice for him to share some of the ways that he's used the cards in his life the last 10 years or so. So how would you like to start out with something, Dan?
Well, that's fine.
Yeah, so...
There's just so many ways that I use it. As you know, I used to do readings, and it was a situation where the information was so accurate that... I started having a problem with those that I was doing a reading for, and it just became, people were just calling me all the time, and I couldn't get any other work done. And so I decided to back away from doing readings, but the information was just so accurate that I completely have integrated it into what I do. And I've been in advertising agencies and print shops, and I just find it fascinating that to understand the people that I'm working with, it just opens up the whole realm so much more. I understand their energy path, and then I know how to work with them. I know how to accomplish the things that we need to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember once you told me that you started a new company, and you had everybody in the company be a 10.
Yeah.
Now tell us about that and how that turned out.
Well,
tell us, first of all, why did you decide to do it that way?
Okay. Well, first of all, I started noticing that when groups of powerful cards, powerful people got together who had certain energy patterns, they could accomplish incredible things. And we've all heard of the Beatles, and we know what incredible things they've done. And to me, it was fascinating that two kings, a queen, and an eight of diamonds, to come together and just create something enormous. So, being a ten of spades, I was thinking, well, if those court cards could do something so powerful, well, then if I put a lot of tens together, I was just intrigued with the concept. So, a little over six years ago, I started a company with five tens. And I wanted to call it 10 Up. It was an advertising agency. And I handpicked everybody. And I really didn't tell the story of what I was doing or why I was, you know, I picked those particular ones. But everybody was up for the idea. And we just started doing incredibly well right from the start. We worked well together. It was a real flow. I had the Ten of Diamonds was—he had just started the rise to the pinnacle, so I knew a Ten of Diamonds with a start on the rise to the pinnacle would be absolute perfect time. He entered the rise when we started
now,
the business.
Now, some of our listeners may not know what that means—the rise to the pinnacle. Maybe you could explain that a little bit.
Well, the rise to the pinnacle is six glorious years, And Robert, you could probably explain it a lot better than me, but it's just when it seems that all of the doors are open. It's the time period in your life. It's actually some cards have the experience twice in their lifetime, depending on where it starts, but it's separated by 45 years, and it's actually the beginning of when you have, well, it starts with a club in the environment position, is that correct?
Well, it starts when you displace the Ten of Clubs, but...
The Ten of Clubs, yeah.
I think some of our audience, our listeners, won't really understand all that, but I think just a general description is fine.
Well, basically, it's can explain
where you're going to have a...
But anyway, I knew the significance of it because I'd been through that portion of it in my life, and I knew what I accomplished. So anyway, I had a Ten of Diamonds who was just starting that period. I had... There was two Ten of Clubs, and one of them, his birthday was January the 30th, so he was a Ten of Clubs, Ten of Spades. But this company, we started off winning clients, I mean, just securing clients and winning awards. It was the fastest moving company I've ever put together. And we just, we really grew, and it was just a pleasure to really work. But in the beginning, it took us about 2 months to figure out and to agree on a name for the business. And like I said, I wanted it to be Ten Up in the beginning, but finally we changed it to Rainmaker Advertising and Design.
Uh-huh.
And I should have seen the handwriting on the wall, because after a while, it just became really evident. We were all strong starters, doers, and finishers. And it was just really hard to get the tens to work with each other. I mean, we would do stuff if we had to, but it would be like, well, what can I do on this project? No, that's okay. I've got it all under control. And we became just very independent within the company. After about 2 years, we went off our own ways. So
everybody wanted to have their own little piece that nobody else had that was theirs.
Who needs anybody else's help?
Right. And because
you know,
anyone else could have done it,
way.
Right?
And
the
company was... I went off and started a print shop. There was a Ten of Hearts who was the graphic artist and all, and she went to work for another company, and we just kind of all went our separate ways. The Ten of Diamonds, and we're still real good friends. We do projects together, but it was just amazing how it came together. But it really worked, but there just wasn't that cohesive connection between all of us. We were all powerful,
mm-hmm.
but there just wasn't a real cohesive
and
element
you're,
to
see
it.
You, Dan, you're an Aquarian, so you think in terms of groups.
Yeah.
And you'd like a group to be connected, you know. But you picked all these individuals, these loners.
Yeah, absolutely. But it was a wonderful experience.
Oh, yeah, I can see. I can see that. That's
but
so
with
cool.
Everybody, I mean, so pretty much everything I do, when I start working with a client, I pretty much find out their birthdays, and I make a little chart, and it's in their folder, so I can pretty much see how they are and their energy pattern, so it gives me a little bit better idea of how to work with them, what I need to do.
Yeah. So I'm sure you still do that now, right?
Absolutely. Every day. it's just really nice. I like to know where my sixes are. You know, my six of clubs, my six of diamonds, I know they're going to pay me. you know, there's just a lot of little things you just kind of, oh, yeah, that's really good. You know, your fours, they're really stable and most of the time.
But I don't know if you feel like talking about it, but you also did an amazing thing with the cards when you had to have a really important operation. Do you mind talking about that?
No, I'll be glad to talk about it. 10 years ago this October, I had to have open heart surgery. Actually, I had to have valves replaced, and it was from a childhood illness. And it wasn't anything where I actually had to go to a doctor, and they sent me right to the hospital for the surgery. So I had time to plan it out, and I actually waited as long as I possibly could. I had a seven of spades in my as a long range card that year,
mm-hmm.
and there was some issues in Saturn, and I just there was just some things I knew that at age 48 or so I was really facing some things, and it just all unfolded. It just came about. So knowing that, I started lining up everything I could think of to find the right day, and I chose October the 1st, which was an Eight of Diamonds. I also had Eight of Diamonds in my chart. I interviewed doctors and talked to them and pretty much put together the whole team based on who I thought was going to be best and gave the best chance that surgery would be a success.
So you actually asked all the doctors what their birthdays were?
Yes.
And you picked the ones that were going to be the most advantageous based on what you saw in your cards?
Absolutely.
Hmm.
So the doctor who did the surgery was a Four of Diamonds.
Uh-huh.
December the 1st.
And uh-huh.
I just systematically went about it and talked to everybody because it was my right. I mean, I was picking the team, and I talked to them all beforehand, and I made sure, like I said, I had it on an Eight of Diamonds day. I had some other positive cards, everything all lining up at the right time. And mm-hmm. once I felt comfortable with it, I just went ahead, and it all worked out perfectly, and it'd be 10 years this October.
And that was an operation that was potentially life-threatening, right?
Well, absolutely. I mean, they weren't the percentage it could have gone either way because it was, there was just so much they had to do.
Yeah, some people probably don't survive that operation.
Yeah. So, you know, and it brought me real close. I spent quite a bit of time getting everything ready and in order. I mean, to the degree of, hey, if I didn't make it through it.
Oh, so, I see. So you had planned
really to face everything, get everything
you
all out, take care of everything.
Taken care of.
But I guess that's that tennis spade part, too.
Yeah.
You know, want to take care of it all. And then once I had it all set up, that five of spades is part of me just decided, hey, it's an adventure. Let's go for it. You know, and then it became fun. It was just like, okay, one thing after another, just...
Yeah,
it became something to really look forward to. Just go ahead, let's go. It was an adventure.
So, for our listeners' benefit, your ruling card is the Five of Spades.
Yes.
So, you're a Ten of Spades with a Five of Spades ruler, which is a person who goes all out and who really loves adventure. That's Five of Spades. So, I know you've had some amazing adventures too, Dan.
Oh, you know me so well.
Well, you've only because you've told me some juicy stories. That's all. But you don't have to tell them all. You're the kind of guy that would jump out of an airplane, though, right?
Yeah, I would. and wouldn't think twice about it. But I've done a lot of things. But it's not that you... I love an adventure.
Uh-huh.
If there's a chance to go and to do something and I can see... I mean, it's not blindly walking into something. You know, you... But if I can see my way through it, yeah, I'll pretty much try anything.
Yeah.
I walked into a water spout one time to just see how far it would throw me. But, I mean, other than that.
I wonder if everybody knows what a water spout is. Why don't you tell them?
It's a tornado on water.
It's a tornado over the water. And so you walked into one? Or?
Yeah. I saw one coming ashore, and it kept dwindling, getting smaller and smaller. And it was just too much of a... Well, I mean, how many times would you see that in your life? For me, it was only once, and I just took that opportunity. So it wasn't like it was a great big one, but it was as it was kind of, it was winding down. And as it came ashore, it was just too much to resist. I just walked right into it.
I've actually had a lot of energy.
It was
really
looking
incredible. At water spouts. I thought it'd be really cool to be in one, but I never did it.
Well, you know, if it had been much bigger, I wouldn't have done it, but...
Well, that reminds me of that movie, I don't know if you ever saw it, it's called Pushing 10, and it's got Billy Bob Thornton in it, and I forget the other guy's name, but there's a scene where, you know, at the big airports where the big jetliners land?
Oh, yeah.
They sit right there in the blast zone.
Yeah.
Right there where the airplane, just where it touches down, and where you're not supposed to be, and then they
right.
got blown way up in the air.
I saw that. But, you know, that's something I wouldn't do.
Oh, no?
No, I've seen it. I mean, it's like, I know what that would be, so that wouldn't be anything that would interest me.
Oh, that's cool.
I can learn from somebody else, too.
So is there anything else you'd like to share about your adventures with the cards with our listeners tonight?
Well, there's just so much that I rely on. I had a, in the agency, once I had, I was working to do a newsletter for a casino. I was the outside support person. And it was announced by management that I was going to have a committee to work with. And a committee is one of the scariest things in the world to hear about. When you're told you got to work with a committee. So I went into this committee, and there was 12 people there, and they were all different parts of the casino. And the idea is they wanted everybody to work together to get more information in, a little bit, you know, more accuracy. But at the chosen meeting, there was nobody from management who had set it up, so pretty much we were left on our own to figure how to handle everything. And nobody really knew how to go about it. They just knew what we were supposed to do, ultimately. Well, I just told everybody it was a hobby of mine. I like to find out birthdays, and I just went around the room, found out, you know, pretty much all their birthdays, and while we were talking, wrote down all of the cards, all the energy patterns for each one, and pretty much figured out from that who I could count on, who would support. There was a Queen of Hearts in the group, and I knew that this woman, she's the karma card who gives to me, so I knew I could count on her.
Mm-hmm.
And the silent one in the group was an Eight of Diamonds. And I figured that she would ultimately be the leader. And because of her sun position and,
uh-huh.
and just the types of energy that she would bring into it. So I outlined everything, gave everybody, started talking to them about the different jobs based on what their cards were that I was getting at that meeting. And it worked out perfectly. The Eight of Diamonds took over, and it worked out so well, because an Eight of Diamonds is Mercury to me. In the mundane spread, I'm right under the Eight of Diamonds.
Uh-huh.
But I'm also Saturn to the Eight of Diamonds, which means if I guide and coax and help, then provide support, the Eight of Diamonds can even stand even better and to do more.
Wow.
So using that, that's the way I worked that, and it just, the whole thing just unfolded. It worked out very, very well. I had the contract for 3 years, and it was one of the easiest transitions from a single person to a committee to getting the job done I've ever had.
Wow, that's a great story, Dan. That's amazing. Yeah, I love that kind of stuff. See, and I just want everybody to notice, you know, this is how a ten of spades takes something like the cards and really puts it to work in a real practical setting for success. And you've obviously done that many times in your life, Dan.
Well, absolutely.
You need to tell them about the rise of the pinnacle. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I said you really need to share with them information about the rise to the pinnacle. Because I think that's just absolutely the most glorious time to accomplish things.
Yeah, and that happens for every card at a different age. So you have to know. It's in the book, actually, in The Cards of Your Destiny. In the chapter 8, it discusses the auspicious events that we go through in life. And that the year that you begin the what's called the rise to the pinnacle is a six-year period of phenomenal success. Of course, that's only true if that's what you want in life also. There are people that happens to, and not a lot goes on because they're not really interested in success. But for people that are, it's probably the number one best cycle there is to keep track of.
Absolutely. And you can make it work for you. I was talking to my wife at the time period when I was entering the Rise to the Pinnacle, and I was telling her how I wanted to do something different. And she thought that if we got into real estate, that it would work real well for us. So during that six-year period, we bought 10 houses. We sold a few, but we still have five. And it was something that we didn't know anything about, but all of that information just opened up, and it's just like doors open. You start to look for information, and all it's just there. It's just it just swings wide open for you. So it's a wonderful time period.
Well, I appreciate the way you describe it.
I wish we could have more.
It's really great hearing the way you describe it, because it puts it in language that I never think of, but it really makes perfect sense the way you say it. I think it helps convey the message really well.
Yeah, well,
I appreciate you being on the show tonight, Dan. It's been really wonderful. Thank you for taking the time. I know it's late out there. It's almost 10:30 now.
Yeah.
And
I've totally enjoyed it. So anytime, give me a call or let me know.
I'm probably going to have one of your articles in our next newsletter that you wrote, one of your stories about how you use the cards. So I really appreciate it, Dan.
Well, you're quite welcome. I enjoyed it.
Okay, man, so I'll talk to you again soon.
Well, thank you. Hey, that was great music at the break.
Oh, thanks. We're going to play some more on the breaks here from the CD. Probably some you haven't heard yet. So say hi to your wife for me.
I sure will. Thank you, Robert.
Your Jack of Diamonds.
And the best to your listeners.
All right. Take care, Dan.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay, folks, that was my best friend, Dan Westfall. He also, by the way, he's a real Mac person. And people who buy my software who have Macs, he helps them. He's helped a lot of people understand how to get the PC working on the Mac. And I really appreciate all the things he's done. We're like brothers, and I visited his house, and he's got a beautiful place down there on the water in Mississippi, and he was actually right in the path of that big Hurricane Katrina, too, that happened. So anyway, we're going to take a short break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Rebecca, who's been waiting patiently to talk. There's two lines open now, so you're welcome to call in. I would like to hear the song on this break called Shiva, and then we'll be right back. So stay tuned.
Shiva, Hare Shiva, Hare Shiva.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp, the author of Cards of Your Destiny and Love Cards. Welcome back to our show. We have Rebecca, who's been waiting very patiently on line two. We have two lines open. If you want to call, now's the time, because you'll be right after Rebecca. Okay, so without further ado, let's talk to Rebecca.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Robert.
Hi, Rebecca. How are you?
Good. I'm so glad I got through to you.
Yeah, me too. And let me ask you something, Rebecca. Are you a Cancer or a Gemini?
Cancer.
Cancer. Okay, good. I just wanted to be sure about that. So what can I do for you today?
Well, I'm having some problems lately with some depression, and I thought maybe you might be able to give me some direction.
Okay. Yeah, I absolutely can, and I'm glad that you asked. So, you know, first of all, you're a Nine of Clubs, and the Nine of Clubs and the Seven of Clubs are both already somewhat predisposed to that. Did you know? They're predisposed to sadness. Are you aware of that?
Predisposed to sadness?
Yeah, predisposed to be sad or unhappy.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, all the nines have a, you know, sort of a sense of that their life is somewhat tragic.
Uh-huh.
So I would imagine that your current state of mind is probably was brought on probably by some certain events that have happened, you know, one after the other. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, and I don't know, somehow you know, the way you interpreted what happened, it just caused you to feel really bad about yourself.
Yes.
You understand? And I don't even know what happened, but I just know how depression works because I experience that myself sometimes. So now I look at your cards for this year, Rebecca, and there's an indication here for you. Okay? Are you ready?
Yes.
So your displacement card this year is the Jack of Clubs.
Okay.
And what this means is that you have to elevate your lifestyle.
Okay.
You have to really elevate your lifestyle so that you are actually living a life that is in line with more spiritual ideals.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you single now?
No, I'm not.
You're married?
Yes.
Okay. And are you unhappy in your marriage or just unhappy in general?
Well, we were separated for a while, but we're back together.
Uh-huh. This is the year for you to have a great change in your life, Rebecca. I don't know if it means that you have to break up, but there's a really strong influence this year for somebody very special to come into your life.
I'm sorry, I couldn't understand what you said.
There's an influence this year,
mm-hmm,
for somebody really special to show up in your life.
Okay.
But that can only happen if you're available.
Okay.
It can't happen if you're in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because your cup's already filled.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you have a, you know, if it happens, it's going to happen in December.
Okay.
Of this year. All right. But only if you're available.
Okay.
But really, the relationship is just part of the story here. This year is about you finding your own power.
Yes.
You understand?
I do.
And you will find it, but it means you have to really do and be something that you've never been before, or maybe you haven't been for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your Pluto card and your result card are both eights. Those are power cards. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it's important that you And the Eight of Diamonds Pluto means that you've got to really get clear about what everything is worth to you in your life, what the value of everything is. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know,
I do.
I can't emphasize too much how important this year is for you. Because next year, it just so happens that 9 o'clock have so much going on at this point in your life. And next year is your critical year, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So really, you're in a 2-year cycle of really good fortune right now. But you have to snap out of what you're into right now and really be ready to make a clean break.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to let go of your self-pity.
Okay.
You came here to give to other people, you know. You are a giver. That's part of your karma.
Mm-hmm.
To be a giver. But, you know, you don't have to give in personal ways. Like, it's not meant to be like you have to sacrifice for certain individuals. It's meant to be something more broader, like for groups of people, for people you reach out to in a bigger way.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you need to do. You need to transform that, okay?
Uh-huh.
And you're also, you might have heard me and Dan talking about the ascent to the pinnacle.
Mm-hmm.
That started last year for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get that?
Mm-hmm.
You're in that 6-year cycle we talked about. It is so spectacular.
Okay.
So that's it. Everything else is up to you.
Okay.
I mean, it really, I'm telling you something. It may seem hard to you right now, Rebecca, but it's actually, once you get started, it's going to be very easy. I guarantee it. It's not going to be difficult.
Well, it's like you said, it's an accumulation of things that have happened over the last several years.
Yeah.
That have just kind of built up. It's kind of been like a volcano, you know?
Yeah, but see, what I'm saying is you can just let it go.
Okay.
And move up. It's time to move up.
Do you see any particular direction I should take my life into besides, I realize you said a spiritual direction, but do you see any special talents or abilities that I should concentrate on?
Well, all I can say from your birth card is that, you know, something where you're teaching or giving away information would be would be the best for you.
Okay.
It would involve information, Rebecca, because you're a 9 of clubs.
Okay.
You're the one who's here to give information that can make a difference, knowledge to people. So maybe that'll help.
And when these nines get into these funks, these nines and sevens, how do we pull ourselves out of it?
Well, you have to just really say enough's enough. You know? You have to get off the pity thing.
Okay.
And
well,
say
thank
enough's
you, Robert.
Enough. Okay, it's time to get out of this and start doing something about it now.
Okay.
You know, you there's a lot you can do. Even if you're depressed, there's a lot you can do. See? I don't know if you know, but depression is the most selfish state of mind there is. Did you know that?
I can see how it would be.
It is. It's completely self-centered.
When you have children and a family, it's very difficult on them. I know that.
Well, I mean, you don't have children. Your children are grown, aren't they?
No.
How old is the youngest?
I have a 15-year-old.
Okay, well, but she's only got a couple more years, though.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them are out, aren't they?
Pardon?
Aren't the rest of your kids out there?
She's my only child.
Oh, your only child. Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the main thing is that you have to, you know, pay attention to others now and give to them. That'll get you out of your depression.
Okay.
You know, and find something to give people that you love to give.
Do
you,
you
got it all, and you got it handled.
Do you think that I will stay in my marriage?
You know, you're the one who has to determine that.
Okay.
If you're not you know, it depends on what you're doing there, you know. It really matters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you really doing there?
Yeah.
Because, you know, if it's not making both of you happy, if you, you know, maybe it's run its course. I don't know. I can't tell you that. You have to decide that.
Okay.
What is it that you love, and do you really love it? If you do, then you keep it. If you don't, you let it go.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you for your time, Robert.
You're welcome, Rebecca. Good luck with everything.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to just go right in since we have two people waiting. We're going to go ahead and talk right now to Monique on line three. And we do have a line two open, folks. You're welcome to call in now on line two if you want to get in line. So is Monique with us? Hello? Hello, is Monique here? I'm here waiting for maybe, I'm not sure if Seth is listening or, I don't hear Monique though. Anybody there?
Hello?
Oh, who's this?
Monique.
Oh, okay. I was looking for you, couldn't find you.
It's me.
How are you, Monique?
I'm wonderful. Is this Robert?
This is Robert.
Yay! So
and are you
excited.
Born January 10th, 1967?
Yes.
And whereabouts do you live in California?
West Hollywood, right near the Strip, where all the
all
lights
right.
are.
Yeah, I've been down there before.
Yeah, it's pretty busy.
So what gets you to call tonight?
Well, a friend, an old friend, showed up on my doorstep about 9 months ago with your book. I never read or seen anything like that, and so here I am, and trying to figure it out. And I thought, you know, let me give Robert a call and see if he could help interpret my yearly spread.
Well, I would rather ask you what is going on that you want to know about.
Oh, okay. Probably. I'm looking for a direction, a career direction at this point in my life. I just turned 40.
Are you working?
No.
How do you support yourself?
I'm married to a king of diamonds.
Uh-huh. And how does he feel about you not working?
He's okay with it, but he's not okay. He's like, just keep looking for a job. In the meantime, he's taking care of everything financially. And he's been very patient and understanding. He just says, you know what, don't feel bad because I know you need to work because I just, you know, we all need to work to make money, but I just need to work because it's just something that
well, you're a fourth band and an Ace of Diamonds. And Ace of Diamonds rulers, they see I'm an Ace of Diamonds ruler too, and we were put here to accomplish some things.
Yes, I definitely, I feel like there are lots of things that I should be doing. I come up with all these wonderful ideas constantly, and I've decided that it would probably be a good idea for me to also go to school and study business and finance to make all those ideas happen.
Okay, sure.
So I'm just going through a lot of... I think sometimes mental anguish in trying to figure out how to get the education going and then to work at the same time.
You know, I find it really curious when people say the thing you just said because it's so obvious, it's so easy to me. I mean, why do people need to go get an education for this? That's what I don't understand. Because... it's basically all we do is we provide a service or a product to somebody that they like, and they pay us.
Just like that, huh?
Yeah, that's all there is to it. And, you know, if you like to do something or if you like to create something, you know, the problem would be if you just think about doing something just for money. That would be a problem. If you're, like, exploring something because you think it'll make a lot of money, that is going to lead you to more problems. You understand?
Okay.
And four of spades people tend to have poverty consciousness. You understand?
You know what? I've read about that, and I don't understand. Please help me to understand.
I don't know if you have it or not. It's not like all of them do, but they tend to have fears of not having enough money that motivate them.
Oh.
I won't have enough money.
No. Even as I could just remember being a kid, to be honest with you, even when things were tough, I never worried about it because everything was just always taken care of. Sometimes there wasn't, you know, an abundance of, or I didn't get everything that I absolutely wanted. But I don't think that's me. I mean, naturally, sometimes we just kind of panic and worry.
Well, the real challenge here for you, Monique, is that you have to ask yourself, what is my purpose in life? So that's the real question you need to answer. What is it that you have that you want to give to the world before you die? That's what you need, because you're displacing a six this year, which means you need to pay attention to what is your purpose, what's your mission. Okay?
I think it's a writer.
Well, then maybe it is. You know, I can't tell you what that is.
Okay.
All I can tell you is that is the answer to your question. If you, have you written before? Have you done any writing at all?
I don't have anything published, but I've been writing all my life.
Has anybody read what you've written?
Yes.
Do they like it?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's a good sign. That's a good sign right there. Okay?
Okay.
I mean, that sounds like, I mean, you're almost three quarters of the way through the year here, practically.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about this time when you should be wising up to what it is you need to find out. So writing could definitely be the one. So I think you've answered your own question.
Okay. Can you tell me, or I'm looking for a little insight into my husband, he's wonderful, and I love him. He's an amazing man, and I'm always looking for ways to continuously compliment the relationship. And with him being a king of diamonds, he's just got this... You already know.
What birthday is your husband?
May 6th.
Okay. I know that birthday pretty well. I have an 11-year-old son that birthday.
Ah.
The King of Diamonds, you know, the thing about you and the King of Diamonds is you're his Neptune card, so he thinks the world of you. I mean, you could never do any wrong in his eyes, which is a good thing. But King of Diamonds are completely obstinate and stubborn, and they're off. But nobody can tell them that. They won't listen. See, they're the only king that has one eye, only one eye.
Okay.
So they're missing a whole big part of the picture, but they don't know it. And they could care less anyway. They got it all figured out. So.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as far as your relationship goes, the Neptune you have will always make things work out good for you two. You don't have to worry about that. But, I mean, you might find, you know, it's just impossible to try to convince him of certain things.
Yeah, I don't.
Not
I feed
it.
Him information here and there pretty lightly. I don't ever expect for him to...
Yeah. It's just a waste of time.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, you just have to love him and let him be who he is and know that he always loves you, and that's all that matters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that help?
Wonderful. I've got one more question for you. I believe an issue with a Ten of Clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got two in my life, and they rattle my cage like you would believe. And so I owe them something, and if so, how do I get this debt repaid and get them off my back?
Well, you have to realize that the things that you don't like about them are things that you already have in your personality that you've pushed away. That's all there is to it. What you see in them that you don't like is qualities that you possess yourself, but you've decided that you're never going to be that way. You understand?
Oh.
Because they're your karma card. Our karma cards are our mirrors of us. And the first karma card mirrors our weak side, the side we don't like.
Okay.
So you have met two people that are showing you what you don't like about yourself. And that's what they're here to show you. And once you learn to love that in yourself, you'll be able to love them too.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Thanks for calling, Monique.
Thank you so much.
Great talking to you. Good luck with everything.
Thank you, Robert. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, folks, we're going to take a break here. We're going to play the Gayatri Chant. And when we come back, Rebecca's been waiting patiently on line 4. We have two lines open. And I look forward to talking to her when we get back after the song Gayatri.
Om Purva Swaha Tatsavitur Varinyam Bhargo Devasya Vimahi Deyo Yona Prachodaya. Om
Welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp. It is Monday, the 20th of August, 2007. And we have Rebecca, who's been waiting patiently online for. Are you still there, Rebecca? Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for being so patient.
Oh, not a problem.
So what can I do for you tonight, Rebecca?
Well, it's interesting. The other Rebecca had talked about depression, and I had been in depression quite a while and had just gone back to work after being off of work for 7 years. And I'm in a job that's hourly. It pays about a tenth of what I used to make. And I'm just wondering if you see anything in the cards about me needing to take more time before I jump back into a kind of a high-level management position.
And that's what you did before?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the cards indicate that, like, okay, after your birthday, next year, you have an Ace of Diamonds as your long-range card.
I have an Eight of Diamonds?
Ace.
Okay.
And an Ace of Diamonds means, like, a new job.
Okay.
And also, with that Ace of Diamonds, there's a Ten of Hearts.
Uh-huh.
Which means large groups of people or like an organization.
Okay, and that was the Ten of Hearts?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I believe that that's what's going to happen. It'll probably happen sometime between December and March.
And March, you said?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Because, you know, you're a Five of Clubs and you're also an Ace of Spades. Aren't you October 17th, 1960?
Correct.
Yeah. So, you know, the Ace of Spades is what makes you so driven. Rebecca.
Okay.
I can tell by the way you talk, you're a driven person.
Uh-huh.
You got that real quickness, like you're in a hurry?
Yes. That's one of my things when I deal with the folks that I'm dealing with now. they're not used to that kind of, okay, let's get it done, you know.
Right.
Like, no, we talked about it, and we'll implement it maybe in 4 weeks. And so that's one of the things.
Well, you know,
really
maybe. I don't know about you, but you might want to consider slowing down just a little bit.
Okay.
You know, because, I mean, you got burnt out, I guess, or something, right?
I had several physical things go on, and so it was just kind of an accumulation of things.
I bet your physical things had a lot to do with the way that you work.
I don't know if getting cancer does that.
Well,
because I wasn't working at the time then, so.
Oh, you got cancer when you weren't working?
Right.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I don't know. I can't say, but I do know that, you know, like there's two kinds of working fast.
Uh-huh.
There's the working fast because you're just really good at what you do and you really like it. And there's the working fast because we're pushing ourselves.
Right.
So the pushing ourselves always ends up with some kind of problem later on, you know.
Right.
So I'm just a little reminder about that.
No, that's great. That's great. I do need to be reminded about that.
But, I mean, you already have so much ambition in you.
Uh-huh.
And the Five of Clubs is not supposed to have to work that hard for money.
Okay.
It's supposed to come to you very easily.
Okay.
Like, you work a little, but you get a lot, because you have good karma with money.
Yes, I did. And this company that I work for, I loved. It was the best job I ever had, and so I wouldn't necessarily go back in the same capacity, I don't believe, but I would like to check out their opportunities again. So,
well, you know, from what I can see here, you're going to have a lot of money again. That's not even an issue.
Okay, cool.
So don't, just take, be, have more fun with it.
Okay.
You know, don't get so serious.
Yeah, okay, because I've kind of gotten to the end of finances, and so, you know, people have been helping me out, but then when they help you out, they have their opinion about you should move somewhere cheaper.
Right.
You
kind of owe them, giving them, letting them talk to you and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I understand. I'm, you know, you're an ace ruler. I'm an ace ruler, too, and I know just what you mean. You know, I'm pretty jealous of my own time and all that stuff, but... You know, it's not, the money's not going to come right away, okay? But it is coming.
Right.
Everything's going to work out. It's
right.
All going to work
okay.
out.
Well, I thank you very much, and you have a good evening.
Thanks, Rebecca. Thanks for being our guest tonight.
Oh, not a problem. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, folks, we're going to take a short break here and play another song. We're going to play Sri Ram. And when we come back, if anybody's called in, we're going to do some readings. If no one's called in, we're just going to call tonight. So this is your last chance to call in. We'll be right back after listening to the song Shiva. Thank you. Welcome back, everybody. This is Robert Lee Camp and the Mr. Destiny Radio Show. I think we have Mike with us. Are you with us, Mike? Mike from Palm Springs.
Hi there.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. And are you a reader of my books?
Yes, I am. I've owned them for about 4 or 5 months now, and I've made my way through Little Book of Seven Thunders.
Oh, wow. Okay.
My issue is, though, is that, you know, I can read for others, but I'm not very objective with myself.
Yeah, we all have that problem. So, you know.
So, I thought I'd go ahead and just find out how this this coming year was going to play out. I've got, my first concern is this Ten of Diamonds, Nine of Spades influence coming up in my Mercury. And I just had a car accident 3 weeks ago, but it was pretty traumatic. I was wondering if maybe...
You recently had a car accident?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't see it happening, but I thought maybe these influences could happen 6 weeks ahead of time.
Well, let me ask you something. What was the net result of this accident? What changed in your life as a result of it? Anything?
I think there's a lot more spiritual influence. You know, more of an appreciation for the mundane.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's not so mundane anymore.
So, like, you're, what, like more grateful to be here now, or?
Oh, absolutely. But it also makes me kind of look at my mortality a little closer, too, and, you know, so I start questioning more about, you know, why am I here, what am I doing with my life, all these things.
Are you a pretty restless person, Mike?
Yeah, and I tend to go in several directions without actually finishing something.
Yeah. You know, you're a seven of clubs, which is actually a fairly grounded card, but you're also a five of diamonds ruler. That's where you get the restlessness from.
Yeah.
And let me tell you a little secret about fives that might be useful to you.
Okay.
Fives have issues with their father.
Yeah, I've got a double influence there.
So what happens is they usually don't get along well with their dads, and so what they do is they say, well, now this is not conscious, you understand, it's more of a subconscious thing, but they'll just basically say, well, I don't want to be anything like my dad, and I'm going to show him, and I'm not going to do anything that he did. Like, I'm not going to finish things that I start. See?
Yeah.
It's kind of like a rebellion against the father, who's not even, sometimes not even around anymore, you know?
Yeah, it was, you hit it on the head.
So, you know, I think it would be very useful for you to consider, like, forgiving your father and forgiving yourself. Because, you know, you do want to be successful. You're a seven of clubs, and you want to attain some sort of recognition in your lifetime.
Exactly.
And you basically sabotage yourself because of the five and because of the issues that it represents with your father. You know, I have a good friend who's a five of diamonds. He's one of my best friends for life, and that's his birth card. And he'll start something, and then the next week he starts something new.
Yeah.
And he drives me crazy because he tries to get me involved in it, because fives are good salespeople. So he tries to sell me on the idea and get me to, you know, do it with him or whatever. And I know that from my past experience that he's not going to stick with it very long. And he feels bad because we're like the same age now. We're like in our early 50s, and he really hasn't accumulated much, you know? And it makes
right.
him have a lot of regrets. But he won't listen to me because I'm his friend. You know, we can't talk. I can't really counsel him, you know? So, but I can tell you these things, you know? So,
yeah.
You know,
it's
about your relationship with success and authority figures and being responsible. That's all what the father's all about, you see.
Yeah.
Self-discipline and, you know, somehow five diamonds, they make it out to be like it's voodoo or something, you know. So, you know, when I look at the cards, though, for this next year, it looks like a great year. I mean, I don't know if you were listening earlier in the show when I was talking to my friend Dan. Were you listening there?
Yeah, I got to hear parts of that.
Well, he talked several times about the ascent to the pinnacle.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you remember that or not.
No, I don't. I think I was having trouble cutting in and out.
Okay, well, you begin your ascent to the pinnacle next year.
Okay, yeah, I think I read about that, and I meant to look for clarity on that.
And you got such great cards. Really, as far as the influences go, Mike, there is no reason for you not to have this incredible year. You got an eight of hearts long range. You're going to have so much fun.
I'm ready for that after this last year, let me tell you.
I want that card myself. I want that card. Eight of hearts, that's a Playboy card, man. You just, everywhere you go, everybody likes you. You got to use
Roger.
That. You got to use that.
Has been challenged.
What's that?
Challenge. This last year has been challenge after challenge, so I'm ready for a change.
Well, you're going to notice a difference this coming year. But you know,
now this go ahead.
But to maximize it, you really need to work on yourself a little bit, Mike, so that you open up a little more to let better things happen to you.
Okay.
You don't have to struggle. Fives tend to struggle a lot, you know.
Yeah.
They fight against themselves. So see if you can, like, be more peaceful with what you're doing.
Now, I'm going to be out of the country for my birthday this coming month. And this Ten of Diamonds, Nine of Spades, I can't quite figure out until my Mercury period.
Well, I wouldn't be too concerned about that. It's Mercury number one, and the top card is a Ten of Diamonds, and that's the most strong card there.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be overly concerned about that.
Okay.
Just have a good time.
Okay. And I have one quick...
Yeah, go ahead.
...question. My cousin, two of clubs, and my aunt, who she's taking care of, who is a king of hearts, are both showing a long-range card of nine of hearts this year. Is there any significance to that?
They each have what now?
They're sharing a nine of hearts long range card this year.
Well, I mean, that's unusual that two people would have that, but it certainly could happen. And I don't think it has any significance except that they're both going to be going through a similar experience.
Okay.
You know, and
I know that the Two of Clubs, King of Hearts, has a karmic connection.
It could mean that somebody that both of them know will pass away or leave. If are there people that they both know and are close to?
Yeah, I guess that's what I kind of saw there, too.
It's possible. I mean, that's a possibility.
Yeah, anything's possible. You said once before, it's subjective.
Well, yeah. But a Nine of Hearts means that, you know, the person is going to either complete something with the relationship somehow, you know, and that's important. It's going to be an important one. And it's going to be like the theme of the year. So it could be like the loss of somebody, or they may themselves may end it with somebody or with more than one person.
I see.
So, but you have to get to know them a little bit to know exactly how that might turn out.
Okay.
All right, Mike, thanks so much for calling.
Hey, thank you. And disregard that email I just sent you earlier tonight because I couldn't get through, but I got through anyway.
Oh, great. Well, I'm glad you did.
Okay.
All right, thanks for being a guest, Mike.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I think we may have time for two more, but we may only have time for one. We're going to try. We have Ida on line 3. I think she's still there. Can you put Ida through, please?
Exactly how that might turn out.
Hello?
Okay.
Hello?
Is this Ida?
Uh-huh. Yes, I am.
And Ida, are you a Gemini or a Taurus?
Well, I'm at the very last degree of Taurus.
I thought so.
Ay, ay, ay.
It's okay. Nothing wrong with that. It's cool.
Yeah.
So what's on your mind this evening, Ida?
Well, I'm coming back into the world after a long period of illness and loss, and I'm wondering if he could help me navigate a little bit. Yes?
Yes. Well, I can tell you this much already, that this year for you is about a bunch of new beginnings.
New beginnings?
New beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about like being open to new, to elevating your life to a whole new level on every direction. You have four jacks this year. I don't know if you're aware of this, but you have four
jacks.
I'm
not aware of your, I'm brand new to your system, so I'm
You don't know my books or anything?
I'm sorry, I've just found you.
Oh, you don't
I'm
have to.
I'm going to get your book.
No, it's not a requirement, Ida, I'm just asking. Never a requirement. So I'll just tell you what all this means, okay?
Okay.
You should be open to upgrading your lifestyle to something
right.
that matches a higher spiritual ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
And also, because you don't know this, but you're a club. You're a queen of clubs. That's your card.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be exposed to some really great new information that's going to really change your life. And like this system, for example, this could change your life.
Mm-hmm.
Because this system is really closely connected to Queen of Clubs. It's a long story why, but it just is. But things like this, you're going to be exposed to, and you should be very open and let it come in.
Right.
Because for you, what you think and how you communicate is everything.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
And what do you mean by that exactly?
Well,
all of us are like
You live in your head, okay?
Yes.
Everything about you is in your head.
Yes.
And so if you were to upgrade your whole thinking or your communication, that would change your whole life. It would trickle down to every area of your life.
Okay, well, you know that I've had a lot of illness.
You've had a lot of illness, most likely because you're like other Queen of Clubs, you hate your body.
I hate my body?
You hate your body.
So, okay.
You think it's a nuisance.
It is a nuisance.
Most Queen of Clubs look at their body and go, why are you bothering me?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so that's why your body rebels. And guess what? Your body wins.
Okay, well, also I have like a nervous system from another planet, I think, but...
Well, yeah, you're like a real high-strung person.
Mm-hmm.
See, but see, your mind has become way too important in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You need to, like, de-emphasize it. You think that you are your head.
Right.
You're not. You're not your head.
Well, the, okay.
I'm just telling you, okay?
No, I'm listening.
Okay.
I've had so much loss in my life.
Just listening very carefully, because I'm giving you what I would normally take an hour to tell you.
Okay.
I'm giving it to you right now in a few sentences, okay?
Okay.
You got to learn to love your body. It's more important than your head. As wonderful as your mind is, you're going to die early, like a lot of Queen of Clubs do, if you don't have a transformation here.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to make your health your number one priority, and that means loving your body. That means finding out what it likes and doing what it likes and not what your head likes.
Okay.
And that might mean doing things you don't like to do, which will be great. It will be great for you to do a lot of things that your mind does not want to do, because you have made your mind the lord of your life, and it's not a good lord.
Mm-hmm.
The mind was never meant to be the lord of our life.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tool that we use. See, there's a driver behind that. You understand? That's
mm-hmm.
you. It's only a tool. It's not the end in itself.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was living a life that was not, that was much more complete. But there was so much loss and death and sickness. And
what, for this coming year?
What? No, 6 years ago. For a few years, it was just constant death and illness, and I finally just had to. I mean, I've been a slave to my body the last 6 years.
Well, I'm glad
taking good care of it.
That's what it took 6 years for you to come around. You see. But listen,
okay.
this year just began. It begins on your birthday. You're just really getting going, and
mm-hmm.
all the good stuff is just starting to happen for you. And it's going to be wonderful
mm-hmm.
if you just be open to having a complete transformation, a complete makeover. That's all you got to
okay.
do. It's not going to be even that hard. I'm telling you. There'll be maybe aspects that are a little challenging for you because they're different. But if
mm-hmm.
you just tell, like, look in the mirror tomorrow and say to yourself, whatever it takes, I'm going to do it.
Okay.
I'm going to come into harmony. I'm going to come into wholeness, into oneness with myself. Mind, body, and spirit. Not just mind.
mm-hmm.
I tell a little joke when I teach classes about Queen of Clubs. They're like, their body is just something that carries their head around so they can look at things and talk to people.
I'm a Taurus, you know.
You got a lot more Gemini than you got Taurus in you.
Okay.
And I haven't even looked at your chart, but I know that you got way more going on mentally than you do Earthbound.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
Okay. Yes, I do.
And if I looked at your chart, I know it would be there because I know what your card is. Your cards are the Queen of Clubs and Five of Clubs. You're a double club. You're double mind. You're just mind on steroids.
I have a big Aquarian moon, and I also have a yacht, and I was wondering if you might, does that mean anything to you? Can you see
yeah,
a yacht?
Yeah, I read, you know, I've met lots of people with yachts, and it has a potential to be something very special, but not everybody accesses it.
Can rise to the challenge, yeah. Okay.
It means you could have a special path in life. Here to serve humanity, something like a Mother Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to decide that that's, you know, and you could. If you are open to that, you're set for that to happen to you.
I guess I know what you're saying. I'm just trying to find my way through it all. So
well, it'll come to you this year if you keep asking for it. See, it's where you put your attention that matters. That's all that matters. Where are you going to put your attention? So if you ask God, you know you're going to get it. If you say, God, show me the way, what do you want me to do for the rest of my life? I'm ready to serve. He'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
You know he will. I know that you know.
Okay.
You're connected.
Okay.
You're the card that's most connected to the divine.
Well, you know, I spent a lot of years meditating and playing music.
Great.
And it was through illness and loss that...
It had a positive thing for you. Yeah. Well, I'm glad. Well, I hope you call again. Keep in touch. I want to see how your year progresses.
Thank you very much.
It's great talking to you, and I wish you the very best, Ida. Okay, folks, this is a nice show tonight. Really appreciate having you around. We're going to end tonight by playing Karna's song. We'll be back next Monday night, same time, 7:30 Pacific, 10:30 Eastern, with a new show. Hope you're having a great week this week, and all your dreams come true. Good night.
Wenn in Lichtenberg die Sonne untergeht und die Mandy ihrem Rai ganz nahe steht, wenn in Zehlendorf der Bungalow erstrahlt und man in Kreuzberg mit breiten Reifen prahlt, wenn der Gendarmenmarkt Touristen fasziniert und Größenbahn am Alex triumphiert, wenn an Stieglitz auch die Schlossstraße nicht reizt und in Schöneberg ein Skin den Finger spreizt. Ja, das ist Berlin, auch verfluchtes Berlin. Ich mag dich, Berlin, auch wenn es manchmal schwer fällt. Hier fühle ich mich wohl, hier kenne ich mich aus. Bei Icke und Det, da bin ich zu Haus. Wo die Wurst sich mit und ohne präsentiert und am 1. Mai die Fensterscheibe klirrt, wo das Ampelmännchen noch sein Hütchen trägt und des Lampenladens letzte Stunde schlägt. Zurückgeblieben, nicht nur an der Bahn und der Mode ganz und gar nicht zugetan. Ach, die Hertha reißt das Ruder nicht mehr rum, aber dafür ist die Lanke wirklich krumm. Ja, das ist Berlin, auch verfluchtes Berlin. Ich mag dich, Berlin, auch wenn es manchmal schwer fällt. Hier fühle ich mich wohl, hier kenne ich mich aus. Bei Icke und Det, da bin ich zu Hause. Diese Stadt, in der das Brötchen Schrippe heißt und wo jeder Hund gerade auf den Gehweg, na ihr wisst schon, wo Freundlichkeit ihr im Verborgenen blüht und man vieles auf den zweiten Blick erst sieht. Diese Stadt, sie ist so lieblich wie auch rau. Sie ist farbenfroh und gleichzeitig so grau. Mal ist sie Kätzchen, mal ist sie wildes Tier. Und gerade darum lebe ich gerne hier. Ja, das ist Berlin, oh verfluchtes Berlin. Ich mag dich, Berlin, auch wenn es manchmal schwer fällt. Hier fühle ich mich wohl, hier kenne ich mich aus. Bei Icke und Det, da bin ich zu Haus. Ja, das ist Berlin, oh verfluchtes Berlin. Ich mag dich, Berlin, auch wenn es manchmal schwer ist.